Man, that was a challenging number right there, wasn't it? I think we're ready for the invitation right now. How many of us have been throwing out the lifeline and being faithful in that? What a stirring song that was. Great challenge. And it's been a wonderful conference. I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to be here. And I know people say that a lot, but I really am thankful. I remember watching from last year, watching over the live stream while we were in Kenya. And watching this conference going on, and what a privilege that live stream is. That was such a blessing to us to be able to come home at the end of our long day at church on Sundays and be able to get back home and get a bite to eat and sit down. And I hope Pastor's not listening. We'd usually eat popcorn while we were watching the morning service. I hope that's okay. But it was, I guess if it's your fourth service of the day, maybe it's okay. I don't know. Don't try that here, though. But anyways, that really was a blessing. I appreciate.
The key was if you did anything at the invitation.
Yeah. That's for sure. But I appreciate all the work those men do back there and others who help with that. That's a huge blessing to the missionaries to be able to come home after a day of giving and be able to get preached at. And we sure missed being here with all of you, but we know that you're holding us up in prayer. And there's no way that the work of God would go forward if it weren't for our church right here, uniting in prayer. And that is what moves the work of God forward. There is absolutely no doubt about that. If you've ever visited a mission field before, a foreign field before, you know that nothing is going to move forward there except by the prayers of God's people. So let's be encouraged in that and be challenged to recommit to our prayer life and be re-strengthened. You know, some people think, well, I've done that so many times, I'm not going to do that again. Well, you're never going to win the battle then if you don't get back up and keep fighting. You know, Satan loves to knock us down, get us defeated and discouraged, and that's when he wins the victory, and we can't let him do that. And we need to get back up, keep going, and trust God by faith. And that's what it's all about. And so we appreciate all that's gone into this conference. I know this is the last night, or Wednesday night's kind of the last night, it sounds like. That'll be a good conclusion. But I just wanted to mention, before I forget, our table in the back there. I'd encourage you to grab a prayer card if you haven't. I doubt there's few that have not grabbed one yet. But then also we have an email sign-up sheet there. If you'd like to sign up to receive our email updates, we send one once a month. And then when we are in Kenya, we try to send one every week, along with a few other missionaries. And so if you'd like to receive those, maybe you changed addresses or something, you can sign up on there, write your name and your email address real nice and neat, and we'll get you onto our email update list and keep you informed of what God is doing there. And just trust that you'll join us in prayer. Well, I know a lot of you have work tomorrow morning or maybe even later tonight, some of you third shifters or something, but so I'll try to get right to the point here and not carry this out longer than necessary. But if you would take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. Several weeks ago, I began praying. You know, I figured there'd be an opportunity to preach in this conference, and there's nothing like being a part of a missions conference at your own home church. And we go to a lot of different conferences, but this one is incredibly special for us to be able to be a part of it, and just to be able to have our hearts knit even more with God's people, with our home church. And so anyways, I just was really praying that God would burden my heart specifically for something that he wanted me to preach in this missions conference. And several weeks ago, God put this specific theme and burden in my heart, and it's just been stirring around in there. And so it's exciting to see what God will do through his word tonight, and I trust that God will be able to use me. Matthew chapter 5, and I'd like us to start in verse 14, a familiar passage, I'm sure. And just as a little bit by way of context, Jesus is here with his disciples. He went up into a mountain, his disciples gathered there with him. And I'm sure you know are familiar with up through verses 12 there. And then, of course, verse 13 talks about, or Jesus is telling his disciples and those of us here tonight who are disciples, that we're the salt of the earth. And then he begins talking about how we are the light of the world. And this is what I'd really, the theme I'd like us to look at here tonight that God has burdened my heart for. And I trust that our hearts will be open during this time together to let God burden our hearts in this way, that we might all share this burden and be united in this burden that God has for us tonight. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's just pause and pray. Lord, we pray for your blessing as we look at your word now. Would you please guide me, Lord, that I would be your instrument, Lord, that you'd move my heart, my mind, my mouth, Lord, according to what message you would have for us tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit would have absolute freedom and liberty in our hearts here tonight. God, that we would not allow distractions. I'm sure there are many thoughts, many things of the cares of life that could flood our mind and occupy our time as we sit in the pew right now. But Lord, may we just come to you and realize how needy we are, Lord, myself included, that we just need your intervention here tonight as we look at your word. Lord, strengthen our hearts. Keep us awake, Lord, and most of all, awake to what you have for us to learn tonight. And Lord, would you challenge us? Would you change our hearts and strengthen us, convict us as only you can? We trust you, Lord, for the victory in each of our lives here tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the great privileges given to us as Christians by Jesus Christ himself is that we have been chosen by God Almighty to be his light here on this earth, to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. In chapel earlier today, Brother Jonathan Bucher was talking about the moon last night. That was incredibly bright. It was 30% brighter than the typical full moon, and it hadn't been that close to the earth since 1948. And so that was an unusual full moon, or I guess maybe today is officially the full moon, but it's very bright. And but it's a reflection. And that is the idea that Jesus gives us. He tells us that we are, Christ is in us, the hope of glory. He is in us through his Spirit. He dwells within us, our body, this shell that we can see hanging on each person here tonight is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, he dwells within us. We are to represent Jesus Christ on this earth. What a privilege. What an incredible responsibility that God has given to us. And not one Christian here tonight is exempt from that privilege. None of you, none of us here tonight have to miss out on the great privilege of being able to be a light for Jesus Christ and a bright light. And I'd like us tonight to just think about what that means to be a light. Jesus tells us very specifically in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." You know, it's no secret that most Christians on earth today, if you look at the broad scope of Christianity and the impact Christians are having in this country here today, or the lack thereof, it's no secret that most Christians here on this earth are not being the light that we should be for Christ. I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? We're not being the light. Across this country, around the world at large, Christians are not being the light. We are not the dominating force that we could be through the power of Jesus Christ, through reliance upon his Holy Spirit. There are millions of people on the face of this earth that have never even heard about Jesus Christ. Imagine that. Never heard. And how could they ever be saved if they don't actually hear about Jesus? They could never be rescued from that horrible lake of fire where millions of people who have walked on the face of this earth, even right now as we sit here in these nice pews, and maybe you even feel a little bit drowsy tonight, you know, think of the people, the millions of people that have been on the face of this earth that are in eternal torment right now because of a lack of light, gospel light in this world. Jesus, our Savior, our Master, our Lord, tells us we are the light of the world. Christians are not letting their light shine like they should. Jesus tells us to do it, and He expects us. He's going to hold us accountable to be letting our light shine and to be the light of the world, not just our workplace. You know, Jesus says the light of the world. Wow, that's huge. As Christians here in this church, we're going to be held responsible for the souls of others who were supposed to see the light of Jesus Christ in me and in you. People that you and I interact with. And since Jesus has given us this command to let our lights shine, what should our lives as Christians look like? What should the life of a real Christian whose light is shining look like? What should it look like? We have to get our answer from the Bible. We can't look to any person for that answer. We have to get it from the Bible. Look at verse 14, as we've seen already. I just have two simple points here tonight that I'd like us to really focus in on and let God just melt us and move us according to His will. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. The first truth that I would like us to notice tonight is this. The world is completely dependent on Christians for the light. This world that we live in is completely dependent upon Christians for their light. You know, John 3:19 tells us a remarkable truth that we need to remember. It says in John 3:19 that men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Because of that act of sin in the Garden of Eden, you know, a lot of times we kind of minimize sin. Sin is significant. It is huge. Look at the impact it has had on billions of people because Adam and Eve took a bite out of a piece of fruit that they were told not to touch. People today want, you know, say, well, if there's a God, He's so unjust because, you know, how could we be born condemned to the lake of fire? He doesn't even give us a chance. Well, He gave the human race a chance. And Adam and Eve blew it. And you and I probably would have too if we were in their position. But that shows the incredible impact of one sin. They took a bite out of a piece of fruit they weren't supposed to touch. They disobeyed. They rebelled against what God said. He had all kinds of good things for them there. And they sinned against God. Men love darkness now rather than light. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you'd think people would want the truth. They would want the light. They would want it. But they don't. We don't. And let's not exclude ourselves from that statement. We all love darkness rather than light. In and of ourselves, in and of our natural estate in which we are born, we love that darkness. We will seek after it. And you see it in our world all around us. Look at the end of verse 14 now. It says, a city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. And verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Wouldn't it be foolish if you were in absolute darkness and you had a match or a lighter and a candle and you're trying to get something done, you know, maybe you're trying to finish reading a project for school and the lights go out. That doesn't happen too often here in America. Every once in a while in a bad, bad storm, that goes out, the power goes out. I remember in the year that we were in Kenya, the power went out, you know, on a very regular basis. And I think the longest time it was out was for over 48 hours. And we were beginning to worry about the meat in the freezer thawing, you know, and things in the fridge spoiling, and couldn't get a generator to work, and we were getting a little bit nervous about it all. But you know what? The power would go out often. I remember hearing one time from one of our prayer partners. He emailed us after a power outage and told us that he heard that the power outage that had just occurred in Kenya had occurred. He heard it announced on the news there out east that a monkey had jumped onto a transformer and pulled a cord or done something that created a national power outage. And I didn't even know that it was a national power outage until I got that email from him. And he informed me of that from the U.S. So that's how I found out there in Kenya that this was a national power outage caused by a monkey. I guess that news made it all the way around the world. But, you know, every time the power would go out, usually there were a few screams, you know, and yells and frantic children in the house when the power would go out at night. Remember that, Levi? You guys didn't always like it when the power would just go out and everything was pitch black all of a sudden. And I'd try to calm them down, just say, okay, stay where you are and I'll get some candles lit and we'll be able to see in just a little bit. But we appreciate light, don't we? God made us physically to appreciate the light. You know, we're sitting in here. Notice all the light bulbs that are going in here tonight. We appreciate light. We can be more productive when we have light. If there was no sun that came up during the day, we wouldn't have, there would be no source of energy here on the face of this earth. We wouldn't be able to exist without the light of the sun. Light is absolutely critical. But Jesus is depending upon us to be that light spiritually, to be the light of the world. And we'll get into some more details about how we can do that in just a little bit. But notice, secondly, and we'll spend the rest of our time on this last point here, not only the world is completely dependent on Christians, on you and me, for light, but notice last of all that Christ expects us and equips us to let our light shine. He expects us and equips us to let our light shine. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine." Here Jesus is using a comparison. Okay, he just got done talking about a city that's set up on a hill. There's no way to hide the fact that there is a city up on a hill. You know, especially if they have candles going in all the windows. You know, even if there's a power outage, those candles aren't going to go out. Okay, but obviously back in the day Jesus was speaking, they didn't have electricity flowing through those houses, but somehow the cities were lit up at night. They had lights going at night, and all of his disciples knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. When you've seen a city up on a hill, there's no way to hide it. That city is obviously there. There's light going in the darkness, and there is no way to hide it. And Jesus says, just like that city up on the hill can't be hid, even so, let your light shine. Think about that first word there in that verse 16. Let your light shine. That word indicates to us that there is an option. There's an option here. Jesus does not force us to shine our light. Have you ever thought about that? Why? God doesn't force us to do anything for Him. Why? Because that wouldn't be true love. God wants us, He created us, so we would love Him and worship Him of our own choice. And if we don't love Him, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a choice. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's a choice. God doesn't force us to love Him. He doesn't force us to be a light for Him. He wants us to stop and realize that Jesus left heaven, came to this earth, and died in my place. He took my punishment for me. And therefore, because He died for me and rose again, the least I can do is just be a living sacrifice for Him. Just live my life for Him. There's so little time. It's such a short life. It's just a vapor. And one day wasted, not letting your light shine. One day wasted, living a day of selfishness. Living a year or a period of your life thinking, well, someday I'll get serious about living for God and I'll serve Him. Someday. I remember reading about, I believe it was Hudson Taylor, as he was sailing over to China, God got a hold of his heart. because he kept thinking, well, someday when I get to China and when I learn the language and when I have this and this and this in place, then I'll become effective. And God broke his heart right there on that ship and convicted him about the fact that right now God wanted to use him, right on that ship, not to wait another day. Don't wait until something falls into place, because Satan will probably make sure it doesn't happen. He'll make sure that doesn't fall into place. We have today. Today is the day. God expects us to be shining our light. It's a choice that we must make. Let your light so shine, comparing to that city up on a hill that cannot be hid. Don't let your life, your Christian life, be like a little child. You know how foolish it looks when little kids, they think that they can hide from somebody by darkening their eyes like this and covering up, you know, so they can't see anything. And they, you can't see me, you know. That's absolutely foolish, isn't it? And we often live our Christian lives that way. We put our spiritual blinders on as if God isn't going to hold us accountable for letting our light shine. Oh, he can't see what I'm doing right now, you know. You're so deceived. You're the one that's covering your own eyes up. You're blinding yourself from the reality of what God has for you. And the reality that God is going to hold you accountable. And not only that, but he's equipping us. And he wants us to experience the great joy of letting our light shine. Being a testimony for Jesus Christ. You know, being equipped, having some gospel tracts on you, ready to not just put it in somebody's face, but ready to start a conversation with them. Ready to show that you have some compassion for them, ready to show that you care about them and engage in a conversation with them but the whole purpose is to weave it, get into the gospel with that person. And gain a hearing with them so they will let you give the gospel to them. Don't be foolish. Let your light so shine. Just like that city on the hill. I'd like us in the last few minutes now to just think about some things that commonly hinder us in our Christian life from allowing our light to shine. Okay, if you would stay with me for just a few more minutes. I know some people look like they've had a long, busy day, but try to hold in there and think about these important truths here. Think about this. Some common hindrances in Christianity today that are preventing our lights from shining bright like they should. As I was thinking about this and just praying and looking at this passage here, the Lord really brought to my heart that, you know, as I kept thinking of all the hindrances that we see in our world today, the Lord really convinced me that the underlying, the leading undetected motive behind why Christians are not letting their light shine like they should is really all backed by selfishness. You know, we are just naturally so selfish, aren't we? You know, Pastor, I love that illustration he's often given, you know, when you get a little splinter of wood in your finger. Okay, we've all had that before. What do you do? I mean, everything stops until you get that out. I remember getting one right underneath my fingernail one time, or maybe more than once. And I remember another time getting one that just sunk way down into the meat of my finger here, right on the balcony going up to the attic down there at the house. Had some splintery weathered wood there, and that thing just sunk right in there. And I remember Mrs. Roberts getting a needle out, and I just was gritting my teeth as she dug that needle in there to pull that little piece of wood. I don't know if you probably don't remember that. That was probably one of a million that you dug out. But anyways, man, I remember that. That hurt. Everything stopped until I could get that out. You know, we take care of ourselves, don't we? All right? That's the point here. We like to, you know, make sure that we're well taken care of. And unfortunately, that's how we often live our Christian lives. Selfishness is the leading undetected motive that drives many Christians to do what they do throughout the day. And instead, it should be selflessness. It should be a surrender saying, God, what do you want me to do with my life today? How can you use me to let my light shine as I go to school today? Maybe you're at a Christian school. And, you know, maybe there's not too many unsaved people, but how do you know? Maybe there are some unsaved people there that you don't even realize. Don't live selfishly. Live it for the Lord. But here are some hindrances, common hindrances in Christianity today that hinder us from letting our light shine. And I trust as we think through these briefly that God will help us to identify if there's any bit of this in our own lives. Here's one reason. I don't want to give up my time. I don't want to give up my time. Time is a precious commodity, isn't it? So little time. Life is a vapor. It goes by fast. And one day here on this earth is a huge chunk of time compared to the whole time that we get on earth. We don't know how long we get on this earth. God used the funeral of 18-year-old Jennifer Rand in my life as a little child to get me thinking seriously about the fact that I was a sinner and that I was going to die and I needed salvation. God used that in my life. She was 18 years old. Most of you here probably don't even know her. Praise God for Mrs. Rand and her faithfulness to the Lord here. But you know what? We don't know how much time we have. We don't know. I don't want to give up my time. Whose time is it? How did you come into existence again? Did you create yourself and you're creating your own time? Is that how it all came about? Absolutely not, but we act like that so many times, don't we? I love that song. Jesus? I don't know. I can't think of the title right now. Maybe some of you will be able to tell me, but the words in the song say, "Not that I have my own I call, I hold it for the giver. I've found a friend." That's the name of the song. Not that I have everything that I have, I can't call it my own. I hold it for the giver. Okay, the breath that I'm breathing right now, I had nothing to do with me, you know, developing organs in my body that could help me to breathe. God did it. God brought us into existence. Not that I have my own, I call. I hold it for the giver. Our time that we have, it doesn't belong to us. But many times we selfishly just ignore God's plan and purpose and the wonderful joy of what it means to let our light shine for Jesus Christ. And we take that time for ourselves. So we call it my time. I don't want to give up my time. Here's another one. I don't want to give up my entertainment. Okay? And that fits in with how we use our time. My entertainment. You know, the things that I enjoy doing, I wonder how, you know, time, whatever you do for entertainment, it might not be something bad, okay? It may not be something evil in and of itself, but just what do you do for entertainment? And how the amount of time you spend on that, how does it compare to the amount of time that you spend praying for lost souls or going out soul winning or trying to reach out to somebody? You know, even just getting on the phone and sending a text message to somebody to encourage them in the Lord, another brother or sister in Christ, or to reach out to a lost person. You know, give them a phone call. Try to set up a time to get together with them and show them that you care and just pray that God would lead you to be able to give the gospel to them. My entertainment. I don't want to give it up. Here's a third one. I don't want to give up my desires. Boy, my dream that I have for my life, what I think I should do with my life, I don't want to give that up. I've got something going here. You know, I'm on track here. I don't want to surrender. I don't want to get too involved at church. I don't want to get too serious about the Christian life because God might, He might call me to Africa, you know. He might, something horrible like that, you know. Hey, I've been there. It's not that bad. You know, if it's where God wants you, then that's the best place you can be. Okay, it's absolutely true. I don't want to give up my desires. Or this one here, I don't want to give up my money. My money. Let's remember, any money that we get ultimately comes from God. If you earn the money, He has given you the strength and ability to be able to physically earn that money. It belongs to Him. It's His. I remember hearing at a missions conference, a missionary preaching about giving. And he said, every time we get any bit of money in our hands, we should look to God and say, God, why did you give this to me? What do you want me to do with it? And not that we have to just go give it away, you know, every penny we get, but ask God, what do you want me to do? That's going to help us to keep God's priorities first. Instead of us saying, wow, man, I'd really, really like that new whatever it might be, or I really want to go to this place. I really want to do that and spend my money that way. I don't want to give up my money. Is your money surrendered to the Lord? These are all ways that we need to be letting our light shine. Just a couple more here. I don't want to give up my career. That kind of fits in with my desires. Here's another one, getting kind of specific. I don't want to give up my rights to express my anger. I don't want to give up my right. You know, sometimes though anger is a hindrance to letting our light shine. You know, we think, well, I had a right. If you knew what that person did to me, I have a right to express it. I just got an email in my that came in from a guy that was just blasting his pastor from another church. And it was so sad to see that this man took it upon himself to write an incredibly negative email about his pastor from one of the churches that we've been to, and send it out to who knows who. He sent it to me, and I don't even know who he is. I know who his pastor is, but he sent it out to me. And he must have, and it was a blind carbon copy, so I'm sure there were as many as he could in there, because he wants to destroy that church. I know that pastor. He's a humble servant of the Lord who is seeking to be used of God, you know, to impact the community, to be used of God. He's sacrificing. I saw the car that pastor drives around. He's sacrificing. He's giving of himself. He's giving of his money. He has little children. He's being used of God. And boy, that hurts when an email like that goes out. And it was sent to him and then blind carbon copied to me and who knows who else. Boy, what an attack. That man set was defending his salvation in there because people were questioning it for some reason. And he, you know, it's just amazing how spiritually defensive he was in that email. Boy, I hope none of us would ever have a part in anything like that. To hinder the work of God, to feel like I have a right to express my opinions however I desire. No, we need to let our light shine. That man is not letting his light shine. I'm determined to email that pastor now just to send him an encouragement, a note of encouragement, because I'm sure I know some of the other things he's going through as he is giving of himself and his young family to see the work of God go forth. How about this one? I don't want to give up my music. I remember one time when I was younger, I had back in the days of cassette tape. Some of you, I'll tell you what that is after the service if you're not sure. But I had a cassette tape, and I remember listening to that, and there was some music on there. It was like classical music, but it was kind of this modern stuff. And I remember my mom saying one time, you know, something doesn't sound right on that music. And you know what? We just took that thing and dropped it into the garbage can and never saw it again. And you know, I remember thinking, man, I was kind of enjoying that music. You know, I kind of enjoyed it. But now I look back and I think, praise the Lord for a mom who is willing to be discerning and not ashamed to step out and say something. Amen. You know, to keep me from going down a path that I shouldn't go. Amen. And was it horrible rock and roll? Absolutely not. You know, that would have been a no-brainer. But it starts you down a path. Are you surrendered with your music? How about your relationships? I don't want to give up my relationships. I've seen so many young people who have an incredible desire to serve the Lord, and they get into a relationship, and off they go. Out of the ministry, their desire, their burden to serve God, oh, where did it go? It went out with that relationship. That relationship. Let's be careful about our relationships. I'm not just talking about, you know, to unmarried people here. Married people can get into relationships that with other friends, you know, at work or even at church that pull them down spiritually and they stop that forward motion living by faith. Be careful for that. That will hinder your light from shining. I don't want to give up my family. You know, Let me share a couple of brief illustrations here. Pastor had this book here, To the Golden Shore, about Adoniram Judson. And I was reading this book one night, and I came across a story in that book where Adoniram Judson was in college, and he was in a geography class. And you know how God burdened his heart for Burma? In that geography class. He began to think about that country, and some of the other guys in that class began to realize, wow, Burma, where is that? You know, who are those people? And they researched and found out what they could. And you know, God just began an unquenchable burden in the heart of Adoniram Judson for that country of Burma. I don't know if he had ever even met anybody from that country, but he was burdened for that country. And I remember reading that book one night, a cold winter night. He was pacing back and forth outside behind his dormitory and just wrestling with God about this burden that was in his heart for this country of Burma. And finally, he told God, out in that cold, dark night, he said, God, I will go. I'll surrender. And it wasn't long after that he went home on Christmas break from college. And his mom and dad knew that he was training for ministry, and they were ecstatic to be able to tell Adoniram Judson when he came home on Christmas break. They were sitting around the fire one night, mom and dad and his sister, sitting around the fire, and the mom was just in this giddy, giggly mood because she knew this exciting news about a ministry opportunity that she knew Adoniram Judson would just jump at. And so they began to tell Adoniram Judson, you know, our pastor here at our church in Boston, and it was a very prestigious church, our pastor in Boston confronted us the other day and told us that he would like to offer you a position in the church here. And they were, you know, the mom was just giggling and excited to be able to tell him about this, knowing that he was just going to jump at it and be so excited to be able to be close to family and still in the ministry. And Adoniram Judson's heart just began to sink as he saw the excitement in his mom and dad and his sister. They were just so thrilled that he was going to get to have this position in this big church in Boston. And they looked at him and finally said, you know, what's wrong? Aren't you happy about this? Aren't you excited? And he shook his head and he said, no. He said, that's not what God wants me to do. And he told them the story of how out in that cold, dark night behind his dorm, he was wrestling with God. And he surrendered to go to that country he had never been to before and give the gospel to those people of Burma. And his mom, his family went from this ecstatic jubilee to a sudden sorrow and weeping and just horrified that their son, they would never see him again. It didn't stop him. Could you imagine the incredible tension and pull that that must have had in his heart? Adoniram Judson surrendered to Burma and surrendered to what God had for him. And think of the thousands of people, maybe millions of people that have been impacted because he went and did what God wanted him to do. And thousands of people that he is in heaven with right now, rejoicing that he came to Burma, that he didn't give in to that wonderful, prestigious opportunity at that big church in Boston. He went to Burma and was used of God where God wanted him. Don't let Satan use family or friend. You know, I'm thankful. I have a family that's encouraging us to go. My wife's side of the family and my side. I couldn't imagine how hard it would be to have them, you know, wishing we weren't doing this. That would make it even harder. You know what? But God's way is the best way. Follow Him. And then one last quick illustration. We were in a missions conference a few weeks ago, and this preacher was telling us in the conference. He said, and this was a preacher who had been serving in a Bible college here in America that's very well known among independent Baptist churches, very well known. And he had been serving there, and he said that he and some other professors did a survey. They were wondering why in all these big Christian colleges and independent Baptist churches that are supported by independent Baptist churches, why such a small percentage of them are surrendering to the foreign mission field? Why? What is it? And they began to research. They did their homework. And you know what they found out at the end of their research? The number one reason that they kept running into? Why young people in these Bible colleges were just coming to do business degrees and all these, you know, liberal arts degrees. Why weren't they burdened for the mission field? The number one reason was because of the parents. Parents were not encouraging their children to go to the foreign field. They weren't coming out and saying, no, we don't want you to be a missionary. You know, I'm sure they would all sing that song, be a missionary every day, you know. They can all sing that. But when the rubber meets the road, they didn't want their grandkids far away from them. They wanted them, you know, just get this job, you know, and go to a good Christian school, stay close to home, and just be a good Christian in the workplace. Well, let me tell you, there are enough nominal Christians that are filling those positions. We need Christians that are going to let their light shine and do something that lasts for eternity and not just sit in a nice, comfortable workplace. You know, and I'm not criticizing, you know, my dad has worked in a secular job all of his life, you know, and that's what God had for him. But wrestle through. Ask God, do you want me to go or do you want me to stay? And ask God to make it clear and have Scripture reason why He wants you to go or why He wants you to stay, how He's made it clear. You know, it's not just the people that go that should be asking God, you know, where do you want me to go? We should be saying, where do you want me? Where do you want my light to shine? Where do you want me in this dark, lost, groping world of darkness? Where do you want my light shining? And I hope that here tonight, there aren't any parents. I hope every parent here tonight is strongly urging and praying with their children about what God would have them to do and where God wants their lights to shine in this dark world. Maybe an unreached people group. Whatever it might be, just make sure that it's God that is leading you and not the secular mentality that's taking over many Christians in our world today. God wants us to light up this entire world. Notice again in verse 14 as we close here. Ye are the light of what? Let's say it all together. Ye are the light of the world. Now let's say it like we're convinced of it because the Bible says it. Ye are the light of the world. The entire world depends upon us. The world is completely dependent on Christians for light, and Christ expects us and equips us to let our light shine. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness to us, Lord, to remind us of these truths that are so critical, that eternity of souls around this world hinges upon us whether or not we're going to let our light shine. With our heads bowed and eyes closed here tonight, how brightly is Your light shining? How brightly is it shining? You know what? If you try to reflect a light on a mirror and that mirror is covered in smudges and dust and it's got a mess all over it, That mirror isn't going to reflect very much light. It's got to be clean. What does your life look like tonight? Does it look like a mirror that's all smudged up by hindrances? Hindrances, maybe sin, weights that slow us down in the Christian life? Teenagers, where are you at tonight? How bright is your light shining? And children here tonight, maybe there's some that have never come to the light. Like the song says, oh, come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. And we who have received that light need to be urging others to come to the light. Living a life that draws people to the light. How is your life, children, teenagers, adults? How brightly has your light been shining lately? Is there something in your life that is hindering you from letting your light shine? Maybe that's you here tonight. And just to be honest before God, you know, not so anybody can see this. Everyone's eyes should be closed and heads bowed. But is there something, would you just indicate by slipping up your hand quietly tonight, you know, God has convicted me that there is something in my life that's hindering me from letting my light shine. Would you hold your hand up quietly? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Anyone else that would join these? Just be honest before God. You're not doing yourself a favor. You're not going to trick God. Just be honest before Him. Okay, you can put those hands down. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? God's convicted me of a hindrance in my life. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? And I trust this will help us to just be honest before God and do business with Him. I'm not keeping track of anybody. Then secondly, will you seek God to use you to see a soul saved and added to the church by this time next year? God burdened me with that specific challenge to give to us here tonight as God's people. That we would trust God to use me by next year, this time next year, to just pray and seek the Lord to use me to lead a soul to Christ and see that soul added to the church. Do you realize that's how the work of God can reach the entire world? You know, by this time next year, if each of us as Christians took that responsibility seriously, the church would be at least double the size it is now. Because we as God's people are united in letting our light shine, reaching at least one soul and seeing them discipled and added to the church. That is something that every teenager should be praying about, every adult, every child, every one of us who know Christ as Savior. God is equipping us to use us in that way. Would you be willing to just slip your hand in the air tonight and say, yes, I'm willing to surrender my heart to God in that way, to be used of God to, by this time next year, by His grace, to lead a soul to Christ and see them added to the church. Amen. I see some hands. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Lord, I pray that You'd work in our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to pray. We can't lead a soul to Christ if we're not depending on You, if we're not spending time in prayer. And that's the only way we can really let our light shine is by just abiding in Christ. Letting You live Your life in and through us as we yield to You and surrender to You as a living sacrifice every day. God, help us tonight to do business with You. Use this in our hearts tonight, Lord, to revive us, to unite us, Lord, around Your cause, the cause of eternity, the cause of being a light, so we can reach souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for what You will do tonight and the wonderful joy it is to surrender to Your perfect will for our lives. Thank You for what You will do. In Jesus' name, amen.